Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode and the entire season is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QueerFam for a free level 2 subscription at cryobank.com.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
People forget that, like, and I'm sure all of your listeners know this, but like, people forget, like, gay families have to decide everything. Yeah. There's no default lane thing. About no. Anything. No default. Everything anything. Has to be decided, which is the only reason, I think one of the only reasons that we in general are better at relationships is because we're forced to have constant conversations about things that most straight people find themselves falling into.
Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, y'all. The show all about family, but with gay. My name is Jamie. I'm your host. And you, my friends, are tuning into this show whose mission is to uplift, highlight, normalize, and celebrate LGBTQIA+ families in all of our beautiful identities. And there are a lot of them. Let's be real. There's a lot of identities in this community, and we cover them all. And this episode does not disappoint. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Gavin and David. They are the co-hosts of the podcast, Gaytriarchs. That's the show I was telling you about last week. And I told you I was going to get them on, y'all. And I did. They are here. They are friends. They're gay friends, dads. And between the two of them, they have 4 kids, 2 each. And they both use surrogacy to make their families. But as these stories often go, their stories are extremely different, even with the same freaking path. Of course, we got into that. And then really, we just had a lot of fun together talking about parenting from a gay lens, which that's the fun about their podcast that I really love. So we had fun. It's a really fun conversation. You're going to love it. And if you didn't get enough of us when you're done with this one, you're super, super lucky because they interview me on their podcast this week too. So what you're going to want to do is head over to Gaytriarchs in your podcast app and check that episode out as soon as you're done with this one. I mean, you got nothing better to do, right? I mean, work schmirk. Just go do that. Forget it. Forget about work today. And before I roll that tape, I have something really, 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 really big to share with y'all. We are winner, winner chicken dinners, y'all. Yes, that is right. Listen up, folks. The Queer Family Podcast has won not one, but 2 Signal Awards. We did it. We did it, y'all. So we won in the LGBTQIA+ category, which is wonderful and amazing. And I'm so glad we won that. We won bronze in that category. And we also won in the family and child raising category. We won silver in that category. And I told you this when we were leading up to these awards. I wanted this one really bad because this is the first time ever that this little podcast has been recognized in a non-niche queer category box that they like to put us in. This is the first time. We are mainstream, y'all. We are in the family and child raising overall category, bitches. And you know what else? You know what else? We took silver, but, and I don't understand why, there was no gold in the category, so nobody got gold. So that means I'm on top. That means the Queer Family Podcast won overall, because we got silver and the rest is bronze. So booyah shaka, we did it. I'm so proud of us. Thank you all for tuning in and going over there and voting and doing all the stuff. I'm just so happy. I'm so great. And before I roll the tape, I do have one really sweet comment to share with you that goes along with these awards. This one comes from Greg on the social. Greg says, "Hey, Jamie, just wanted to share a huge congrats on your awards, ! I like the all caps. Thank you so much, Greg. Yay, Greg says. I love the podcast. I've been listening for some time now, and I've learned a lot about all the different ways us queers create our families. Yeah, yeah. My hubs and I are about a month out from our little baby being born via surrogacy. What a journey it has been. Thanks again for all the work you do with all those little huggy faces with the hearts. Thank you, Greg. That's beautiful. Oh my God. Good. I mean, whoa, sending all the baby dust in the world, all the baby dust, everybody at home, send the baby dust because here you go. Here it comes. Now the real journey begins. You thought this was hard. I'm so happy this show has helped you. And I think you're going to love this episode too, because we talk a lot about surrogacy. So all of you at home, if anything in these episodes resonates with you, or if you just want to ask me a question, I want to hear it all. So whether you're an ally, you're a queer, you're a parent, or you're not, you can email me, you can DM me, and you can even send a voicemail or text to 646-470-1840. There are so many ways to find me. I'm everywhere you didn't want me and more. You poor things. I mean, you lucky things. Please keep on reaching out, y'all, and please keep on supporting. I appreciate you all immensely. You have no idea. All right, it's time to roll the tape. Helen, Beulah, Nicole, the real one. Helen and Beulah, you know, Helen keeps saying she's going to start a blog. She hasn't started the blog. Beulah's just been quiet for weeks. I don't even know what's going on with Beulah, but Nicole at least is staying consistent. So Nicole's going to roll this tape. Y'all know that Helen and Beulah are not real. They're not real. I just had to pretend I had assistance for so long. And now that I have one, I cannot lay off Helen and Beulah. They will kill me. They will literally kill me. So we're going to roll the tape. All right, Nicole and Helen and Beulah, please roll that tape. Thank you so much. I love you guys.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Gavin and David.
Hello.
I am very excited to be here with you today. Woo-hoo. This is going to be fun. This is going to be so fun because, well, I'm just going to say it. You guys have a podcast called Gatriarchs. See, look, I'm already doing your elevator pitch for you, and I make it
so
my
much.
Business to
and
not do that.
And yeah. We're done. Thank
but
you.
Your podcast is really fun, and it really, I was telling you earlier, it does like make me think of the old days with on my show when I had a co-host and all the banter and the back and forth. And I love how candid the two of you are about parenting and how much it sucks. So
it sucks so much. Kids ruin everything.
They sure do. They're such little assholes, but we love them. All right. So I'm not going to say any more. You're going to give me and our audience, the Queer Fam Squad, I call them. I know, so gay. Your 30-second elevator pitch about who you are and why you're here. And I'm going to put up a little timer, but don't you get scared.
What?
I will never.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. Okay.
I won't cut you off. It's the silliest thing we do. People always go for like 3 minutes and I'm still the timer. I'll just take it away and pretend it never happened.
David, this is training for your future Oscar.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right.
Mm-hmm. This is why I do this.
I feel like I'm about to go into double dutch and I'm just like, I'm not right sure when to jump in. Okay. All right. I'm ready.
Thank you for the double. Thank you for that. Okay. On your marks, get set, go.
Hi, my name is David F. M. Vaughn. I'm a writer and a director, and I am a gay dad. I have two kids via surrogacy. I have a 4-year-old boy and an almost 2-year-old girl who's a nightmare. And we did gestational surrogacy, and our first surrogate was my sister-in-law, my husband's sister, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. And the second was a stranger we met on the internet who we didn't actually meet in person until she was 6 months pregnant with our child. And Gavin's turn, though.
Now I take over. Do I get a fresh timer?
Yeah, he gets a fresh timer. That was beautiful. Yeah. That was like, 31 seconds? Mm-hmm. Good job.
There was so much about your kids. I'm afraid that I'm going to talk for 28 seconds about myself and then 2 seconds about my kids. But
you should do that. And then we're going to find out.
But Gavin, you have to present the real you. And that is the real you.
That is. I mean, yes, only child. Sorry.
Listen, I'm all about this. On your mark, Gavin, get set, go.
Boom. Hi, I am Gavin Lodge. I am a gay father of a 10-year-old and an 11-year-old. I currently am the director of a nonprofit organization that's trying to lift up the way Americans value arts and culture, because I was an actor for 20 years and I was in politics before that. And so this is politics and art together. Anyway, I'm trying to, of course, brainwash my kids about arts and culture and politics as well. That was a complete non sequitur, but two kids with surrogacy, and I love them both dearly, and I'm stoked to do a podcast about Gatriarchs changing the narrative around parenting with my friend David F. M. Vaughn.
Booyah Shaka.
That was 36 seconds, so I just want to point out to our listeners that I won.
David won. Fine. David won. Yeah, it wasn't a competition.
Yes, it was. Everything is. Thank you.
But I won the competition about partnership and mentioning you, David.
That's
cool.
True. Uh-oh. I didn't mention you at all.
Yeah, you got an honorable mention. I love everything about this. And the fact that I just said it's not a competition to you, which is I say to my children.
Except it is.
Constantly.
Yeah.
It is. It's always a competition. Who are we kidding?
It absolutely is.
Okay, so this is beautiful. This is amazing. We have so much to freaking talk about. I have a topic I want to talk about on your show because I'm coming on your show. So everybody has to go listen. After this.
Yes. We're so excited. You're going to be on our show too. Yeah.
And I already have a topic. I don't want to forget it. It has to do with guns. Okay. Hold on to that. Okay.
Guns. Sweet. Love talk about guns all the time.
Love guns. Sure. Get as many as you can, everyone. Leave them around the house. Yeah.
Toy guns. Okay. Let's get into the two of you. All right. I want to know surrogacy, both of you, first of all, right? Oh, yeah. Pretty pennies were spent. Pretty pennies. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not because I don't know the whole story.
Yeah.
Why don't we start with, because Gavin, you just did your elevator pitch. Why don't we switch it back to David? And can I ask you, when did you decide that was the path that you were going to take? And like, just take me back. Take me back to you and because you're with a partner now, are you? Mm-hmm. Or are you not?
Yeah, I'm married. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're married. So take me back to that and the conversation because this is one of the conversations we have like early on as queer folks when it comes to family building. There's a lot of decisions to be made. So take me back.
Totally. First of all, I'm an open book is what most people say. I always say I have no boundaries. So feel free to ask me anything or do. Yeah, I have like literally anything. Okay. So I have always wanted kids. And I don't know how much of that was like me trying to fall into the heteronormative trap, but I have always just kind of wanted kids. And when I met my now husband, and I remember on his match.com profile, it said, "Wants kids?" question mark. And it was like, maybe. And mine was like, you know, fuck yes or whatever it was. Uh-huh. Anyway, so we went to a not-for-profit organization called Men Having Babies. And it's it's an educational organization that basically they have a lot of these like weekend seminars. And I live in New York City. And so we went to their seminar and we kind of walked in thinking, oh, I guess we'll do surrogacy or adoption. We don't really know. And we got a really great education, but we walked out of there, like I think a lot of people do, kind of dejected, thinking that like, oh, surrogacy costs $150,000 on average per child.
Yeah.
I was like, I have $11 in my bank account. I do have a coupon for like a free guacamole from Chipotle, but that's not going to buy me a kid. We were getting married and our whole family came into town. And like a lot of gay men, and I don't know if Gavin has the story too, like straight women in our lives tend to often say, well, you know, I'll have your baby someday. You know, they kind of jokingly offer their uterus to us, which is very kind. And my sister-in-law, my husband's sister, said that at our wedding. And we were like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, right.
And then I was talking to my husband. I was like, do you think she was serious? Because we can't afford surrogacy because it gets a little bit in the weeds and I'll try to be fast, but there's a lot of parts of surrogacy. There's the compensation, which is what everyone thinks about when you have a surrogate. Like, are you going to pay them and how much do you pay them? That is not the big cost. There's IVF, there's egg donation, the insurance aspect of it. So my sister-in-law was like, we basically approached her and we said, listen, no pressure. This is at our wedding. This is at our wedding.
This happened at the wedding?
All happening at our wedding. This is at like the dinners before or whatever.
So she was like, I'll have your baby. And then like.
Not literally at the event. No.
Okay. All right. Yeah, then you were like saying vows and then like.
Correct.
Right,
like,
going
I
right
do.
After.
And Aaron, do you? Do you? Okay. So.
That's a fun way to do vows.
Yeah. So we basically were like, no pressure. Please say no. But like you jokingly said this, like, is that for real? And she was like, yeah. I'll ask my husband, but yeah. And she had insurance that was surrogacy friendly at the time.
Oh,
and she had all of this stuff to basically where it would have been affordable to us because we would have to pay for IVF and all that stuff. So
so basically it was a coupon. This is a coupon situation.
Oh, I don't buy anything full price. I don't buy anything full price, especially babies.
This is the way. Okay.
Yeah, it's the only way. So she called her husband. Now, keep in mind, they are like cool granola Portland types. And she called her husband. She goes, so I'm thinking about doing surrogacy for Brian and David. What do you think? And his response was, they have two girls. I think it would be a beautiful thing for our girls to witness. You give that gift to them. I was like, oh my God, can you be nicer? Like, it's annoyingly kind.
Put a bird on it. This is your brother?
That's my brother-in-law.
That's your brother-in-law. And she's your
She's my sister-in-law. So like it's my husband's sister and her husband.
Okay, I get it.
Could you draw a family tree for us?
Oh my God. That's beautiful.
Long story short is that she basically said yes, and we knew nothing about surrogacy other than what we had learned at Men Having Babies. And so we kind of stumbled through. We got a lawyer. We did the IVF process. We did the whole thing, and we were very fortunate.
You did DIY.
We did slightly DIY. We didn't have an agency. Okay. We didn't do anything, but we had learned. I mean, listen, you can learn anything on YouTube. So we literally, we got a lawyer. We made sure to pay for it, like a nice lawyer. Mm-hmm. We went through an agency for egg donation and creating IVF, doing IVF. And so we were fortunate enough to, it all went great. We had one transfer, immediate pregnancy, and we had a healthy baby boy. So we were so very fortunate. And then when we went to do the second time, my sister-in-law was like, okay, thanks. That was, you got one.
I'm done.
You know what I mean? Like, which is totally reasonable. And so we found a matching group on Facebook about basically IPs, which means intended parent, and surrogates, both traditional and gestational. And we basically said, we joined these groups. And before we knew we were going to have a second kid, this woman posted on the group and she said, hey, I want to be a surrogate. Here's a little bit about me. I live in Portland, Oregon. Oh. I'm a lesbian. And I play the ukulele. I went, I need to talk to you.
I'm obsessed with you.
And I messaged her. I said, listen, I don't know if we're having a second kid. I don't know if we need a surrogate, but like, sorry, my watch is listening to me. And I was like, you know, you're just so cool. I just wanted to say hi. Hi. She's like, hi. Great to meet you. And then months later, we decided. And I immediately talked to her. I said, hey, are you still interested? She said, yeah. And this was during COVID, the middle of COVID. Wow. And we did everything. We did testing, transfer, all the things remotely. She was in Portland. We were here. We never met her in real life via other than FaceTime until she was 6 months pregnant with our child. We knocked up a stranger across the country.
Yeah, you did. That's the gateway.
And then we got lucky and she got pregnant. She had a healthy baby girl. And again, was super lucky. We got just super lucky.
So many questions. I want to dig into the egg donor after I hear a little bit of Gavin's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have questions about the egg donor and choosing that. And then is it the same egg donor? All the things. And how the hell did you get the embryos to the surrogate? Okay, I have questions. Mm-hmm. Okay, Gavin, take us back. How did this begin?
Happy to share it. You know, I think we had a pretty conventional route to pregnancy via surrogacy. And we went through an agency that was out of California. So I think three of the elements that are the funniest here or most interesting is that one, it was the only time in my entire life that I flew across the country and back in one day. I was from New York.
Wow.
That's a long flight. I'm from Cali. Yeah.
First flight out, went to Pasadena, jerked off into a Dixie cup and got in a plane and came right back in one day.
Wow. Gavin, wait, can we say that? This is not our podcast. We encourage cursing and discuss it. Can we say that on this podcast?
You can say anything you fucking want.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Well, all right.
It is, I guess I'm kind of shocking David here because I don't think he knows that story and I've never talked about spooging on our podcast. I leave that to other people. So
I'm proud of you. Proud of you, buddy.
And then also with our first kid, our surrogate carrier, who is a phenomenal woman from Colorado. I'm originally from Colorado as well. And back when we did this, you couldn't do surrogacy in New York. You could do it in Connecticut, Massachusetts, a bunch of random states, including Colorado. And so I opted for, hey, could we try to find this surrogate carrier in Colorado? Because that's close to home for me. We found this amazing woman who had three kids herself. She had been a carrier for another couple in West Virginia. And she's like, I have really easy pregnancies. I love being able to do this. I love I usually have about 4 hour, deliveries. She's also a vegetarian, non-smoking, non-drinking, non-caffeine ingester who's a marathon runner. And my only worry was like,
same
girl, do you need to eat like a hamburger or something? Because, but she's super, super healthy. Anyway, she was like legs up, ready to go with the transfer. And then there was a little problem. She was in LA with the egg donor in, I assume the egg donor in one room, surrogate carrier in another, and I'm in New York. And suddenly the agency calls me and they say, everything's looking good. We aren't happy with the number of eggs we have gotten from the egg donor. There weren't really enough to really feel viable, but there were some healthy ones. And he was masking the actual issue and burying the lead. He goes, but we lost your sperm.
Oh.
And I'm like, you literally have one job. You literally.
I want to point out, I've never lost sperm in my entire life. I know where all of it is at all
that
times.
That might have to be the episode title. Oh, shit. And you flew all the way across country to give them that.
I did. Exactly.
Somebody's coffee at that place just did not taste right that morning. Do you know what I mean?
Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Or it tasted exactly right. Just kidding.
Right.
Gross.
Oh, just kidding. God.
Anyway,
oh, my God.
So there was that.
Gavin, that's that. Our show. That's Gatrix. This is the classy show. We've got to class it up.
No.
Jamie.
I just had a guest tell me that there's like way too much talk of vaginas on my show. So this is good. We're balancing it out. Okay.
You're the boss of your own show. This is your show. You talk about vaginas as much as you want.
As much as you want. Although, where do you lie on the debate between vagina versus vulva?
Oh, God. Yeah. We're talking about this with my daughter because she's 1.5 and I call it her vulva. And my friends are like, why? I'm like, because it's a vulva. And they're like, because no, just call it a vagina.
Okay. I'm going to be honest. I think vulva is disgusting.
Like the word?
Yeah. I say vagina. We say vagina in this house.
Just a casual for everything there.
I don't think I've ever thought of calling it a vulva, though. I call my dogs a vulva. I would say no, not even hers.
Wait, their names are vulva?
I mean, let me bring you up here. There's definitely there's the progressive realm of folks who are like, listen, the outside of female genitalia is a vulva. The vagina is the vaginal canal inside.
Yes. That's true. It's very technical. If you want, we do have to get very technical when we speak about our bodies and our families with our children. So listen, if you're going for technicality, that is the way to go. I just don't like that word.
Okay. Well, this is your show. We will stop saying it. So
whatever. We'll get back to vagina. We'll get back to vagina. So anyway, the last element, I think I FedExed the next round.
Wow.
I was going to say you can ship it.
Yeah. Like a month later. And then ultimately, you know, you get the kid that you're supposed to have. And that ended up in my daughter. But I will say the one element, it is expensive. It's a very expensive process. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I didn't have a coupon and I didn't look far enough to like get hooked up, frankly, which David was very smart to do. My story actually in surrogacy is that my mom passed away unexpectedly back in 2008. And she was much smarter with her money than I was. And so I inherited some cash, not tons of money by any stretch, but enough to afford surrogacy. And so I have always felt like it was a beautiful circle of life that literally my mom made it possible for me to have two children.
That's so cute.
And she's in those kids. You know what I mean? She just exists totally.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, I want to know, did you always want to have kids, Gavin? And, you know, are you partnered up?
Yes, I am. I have a partner of actually 19 years. We are not technically married, which is another, its own
It's because you couldn't, you couldn't for so long.
Back in the 1800s, Gavin, I know. You couldn't do a lot of things.
Actually, you know what it is?
He got his water from a well.
We say ageism for our show, David. We say the ageism for our show, okay? True. Sorry, Jamie, what did you just say?
No, I said it's actually the 1900s, which is also so awful. Ancient. Up to say.
You know, I will say, actually, I came out slightly later in life, which I noticed was a topic of your podcast just a little while ago. But I came out a bit later in life. And my biggest concern, frankly, was, oh, my God, what if I don't get to have kids? And so, in fact, in all of my coming out process, I'm like, but I'm going to have kids. But I'm going to have kids. But I'm going to have kids. And when the topic came up with my partner, he was like, what if I'm too selfish to have kids? What if I've never envisioned this for my life? He's a conductor. He's like, what if I have to go to Austria for 3 months? What if, what if? And I was always like, listen, all of the what ifs you're bringing up are important things to discuss. And I think they are all surmountable. If you go to Austria for 3 months, whatever, we'll figure it out. I mean, maybe if the kids are in high school, we might renegotiate that. Or maybe we'll go with you for 3 months, whatever. I mean, we have not had that dream happen anytime soon. But like the idea that, what if I'm too selfish? Well, yeah, let's talk about what if you're too selfish. And also, I think if you're asking that question, it means that you have a self-awareness that means that you're not too selfish. And I've always said if he wasn't a musician, he would have been a veterinarian. Of course, I think that's what he says. But he really does have a very intuitive, calming relationship with, frankly, animals and babies. And I was like, I know you're going to be a great dad. So you go ahead and like invent all of the terrible scenarios you want. But this is all surmountable. And he's, in many ways, a better dad than I am, without a doubt.
Oh, look at that. I think, you know what I think? parenthood is a lesson in selflessness. Like, we're all fucking selfish when we go into this. We want Hell those babies yeah. for us, right?
Oh, yeah.
We have no idea that it's not for us yeah. at all, and they're not yeah. for us, nor do they care about us or our yeah. well-being, right? It's like your first lesson in selflessness.
Yeah.
I always tell people, like, when people say, like, do you have any advice? And listen, I have advice for days. I could go for on days. For days.
So we started advice. A podcast.
So we started a podcast. Give but advice. The one thing I always say, because I don't want to get too in the weeds, is I was like, remember, your baby is joining your life, not the other way around.
That's true.
And to
I
have
know.
That point of view, because yeah. it's like putting on your mask before you put on the mask of your baby. You've got to be in good working order to become a parent. You have to be a full person. This is literally yeah. why David and I started the podcast. And you just see so many parents who are just shells of people walking around being servants to people. And mm-hmm. that is not a good, I don't think that's a good parent. So I would say
Agreed.
Your baby joins your life, not the way or other way
it's
around.
It's hard though. Those little assholes come out the way they come out. I don't mean to call my kids assholes this much, well, but
you could do it on our show when we interview you for our show. Call them assholes yeah. the whole time. Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Oh, now come on, y'all. You know, I would not let us go through all that talk of finding donors and vulva speak without mentioning that I have a promo code for any of you who are in the market for sperm, who need that donor. And it's from the same cryobank I made my babies at. And it's my favorite cryobank. California Cryobank, y'all, is a full-service sperm bank. And for over 45 years, that's as old as me. That's a long time. For over 45 years, California Cryobank has proudly helped tens of thousands of LGBTQIA plus clients create the family of their dreams, including myself and many folks I know. They are the number one sperm bank in the US, and they ship to over 40 countries, and they have one of the largest and most diverse selections of sperm donors, which is huge, y'all. To learn more, you're going to visit cryobank.com. That's cryobank.com. And you're going to use promo code QUEERFAM. That's QUEERFAM for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Go ahead and make those babies and then come on my show and tell me about them. All right, go do that. Go get that promo code. QUEERFAM, QUEERFAM.
Love is love.
It's beautiful. Now, how did you decide, and I still want to find out about your egg donors, but how did you decide, and any one of you can take this, who was going to be the gestational parent? Who was going to jizz in the cup, so to speak?
I'll go first. So we did basically did, I think what a lot of, I think Gavin did this too. A lot of gay men will do this where they will get eggs donated. So like for us, I think we had like 24 mature eggs mm-hmm. and then they split them in half. And then mm-hmm. I fertilize half of them. My husband fertilized the other half. And then whatever embryos result, then you have kind of two sets of eggs who, and so what we loved about it, and I think most gay men love about it, is that if you have two kids and one from each dad, the kids are still related to each other via the egg donor. Mm-hmm. So there's this kind of genetic siblingness to it, and then also the kind of arrogance to it, which is like, oh, that kid looks like me, that kid looks like me. And so that's mm-hmm. what we did.
And the beauty also of two folks without uteri, the beauty of it is that you can also put both in at the same time. You can get twins that are biologically connected to each of you.
Sure. That is not as common anymore. Like most doctors won't do that anymore. Right. But yeah, but no, I know a lot of people who have their kids that way. Yeah, no, they have their kids that way.
Pretty
yeah.
wild. Like that would be so fun for me. We have to wait. We have to do it like, I mean, we could be pregnant yeah. at the same time, I guess. But
that's
no,
true.
Who the hell, I have talked to somebody who did that. Why would you ever do that?
That seems bonkers.
We interviewed on our show these two dads, they're military dads, and they got two different surrogates.
Oh.
And they both
at the same time.
Did transfer to each dad to the two surrogates at the same time. And guess what?
Guess
they
what?
They both split.
Yep.
Both of the babies split. So they uh-huh. had, at one point now they didn't, it ended up going all the way through, but they had four oh. fucking babies on the way within a couple of months of each other.
My God.
Yeah. It was
wow.
crazy. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot. See, so there's lots of things. Go ahead, Gabe.
I was going to share that my story actually is a bit different, that I was the one who was definitely driving the baby train. And mm-hmm. so it was just kind of a foregone conclusion that I would the one who would have the Dixie cup sample first, which was lost. Then we went on a baby moon when our surrogate carrier was 8 months pregnant, which now in retrospect was cutting it real close, considering my second kid was born 3.5 weeks early, and we would have been on vacation had that happened, or on baby moon. But anyway, we were on our getaway, and before the kid was even born, I said to my partner, "Now I think we should do this again, and I think you should be the dad this time." And he said that to me. And I said, "Oh, I was going to bring that up at dinner tonight." And he said, "I know. That's why I'm bringing it up now, so we can have a calm dinner." Now, we have different approaches to what counts as calm conversation, but that seemed stressful to him. So he needed to get it out before I did. So anyway, he is biologically our son's dad. And, you know, and we wanted to have the same egg donor, but she went MIA actually in the middle of the process. And our agency, whose name I cannot remember right now, contacted her and they said, "Listen, this is a couple that wants to have a sibling. And, you know, they're really hoping." And they reached out for, I don't know, maybe a month or two. And she just went MIA. And so maybe she just didn't want to do it again. Unfortunately, we didn't get any response. But
you didn't have any left over?
No, we didn't, because we just didn't do that. We used everything that we could.
They did a fresh transfer, though, which is different. Like, we did a frozen transfer, which is where, like, we did it all and froze it. Yeah, exactly. And then so we had 13 on ice, basically.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a terrible drink. Yeah, it sounds like a terrible drink.
13 eggs on ice. Yeah.
But that's the name of the episode.
At first, we were stressed or upset that they wouldn't be actually biologically related. And then we're like, you know what? Whatever. We're making the family our own way. They're going to be siblings. And for that reason, also, my partner, because we are not married, he said, "I want my son to have the same last name, at least." So he generously said, "Our son will have my last name." And both kids have my last name because we aren't married and we aren't hyphenated or anything. So, you know, it's our own level of semi-complication.
But people forget that, like, and I'm sure all of your listeners know this, but like, people forget, like, gay families have to decide everything. Yeah. There's no default lane about anything.
No default.
Everything has to be decided, which is the only reason, I think one of the only reasons that we in general are better at relationships is because we're forced to have constant conversations about things that most straight people find themselves falling into.
I'm going to amend it to say better at everything.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I was trying to be
so
kind.
So much harder.
Again, I'm trying to be really cool on your show and not disgusting like on
our
show.
We're better at parenting. Yeah. Like, come on now.
Yeah.
No, because we really do have to make every single little tiny decision, like you just said. Like,
we have to communicate.
Yeah. Yes, we have to. Mm-hmm. But I bet you all three of us have different ways that we gave our children last names, even just in this room right here, right? Like, my kids are hyphenated, but my wife and I each kept our own last names. So we don't all have the same last name. Nope. The kids do, right? Mm-hmm. And then Gavin, you, your kids have yours, but your husband. Yep. And then what about you, David? We just don't use last names.
My kids, they have a symbol. It's just a drawing of a dick. That's their last name. No, but my kids, sorry. Again, I'm on a good show. I'm on the classy show.
I was thinking like a pie sign. I don't know.
No, yeah, a piece. No.
So that would be too vulva-like.
One of the things, like you were saying, is like you have to have these conversations. When we were talking about last names, both of us were very attached to our last names. Mm, I didn't want to hyphenate. I didn't want to change my name. My husband didn't want to change his last name. And we were just kind of like, so what do we do? So we settled on, we do a lot of conflict. It's like whoever wants it more, right? So he was really passionate about his last name. So I was like, great, kids can just have your last name. And now my kids have two middle names, no hyphenate. So like one of their middle names is my last name.
Oh.
And then they have a their own unique middle name. Now I have two middle names as well, which I kind of like. So
this apple did not fall far from the tree. David Francis Meredith Vaughn.
Correct. Yeah, you do. Yes,
okay. Francis is that Meredith. Your grandma's names?
No, it's Franklin Martin. And one of them is my grandmother's.
I thought that was really cool.
No, it's David Franklin Martin Vaughn. Like a lot of things, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but a lot of things that I stressed about, like who would be the first bio dad and whose last name would we use and blah, blah, blah. I would lay up at night thinking about it.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I think about them having Becker as their last name and not Vaughn. Never once.
Right.
Never. I just don't even think about it. When I pick them up, I say, "I'm here to pick up Emmett Becker." They're like, great. I was so worried that, my ID would not match them and there would be airport fight. It never comes up, but I was so stressed out about it.
It is so interesting. Like we do, we overthink all these decisions, but like my kids don't have a middle name because we knew we were hyphenating and we didn't. My wife is in education and her big thing was that the name has to fit in the freaking bubbles on a test.
Yeah.
So we didn't want it to be too long. But I do sometimes think about, like, what if we were all to just, like, the lesbians do this a lot. I don't know if the gay guys do this. When, we, like, our friends call...
Cunnilingus.
Yes, cunnilingus.
No.
Do you do that? Do you do that often?
No.
Well, it kind of depends.
It's kind of the defining line between us. It's kind of that middle. Sorry. No.
If there was one, right?
Yeah.
But they take your last names and we smush them together and we're known as, like, we're Kelton Woods. We're known as the Kelwoods. Our friends are Franzito and... No, Franz and DeVito. So they're the Franzitos. So yeah, Brangelina. Mm-hmm. Like that. That's cute. You guys do that?
No.
I know nobody who does that.
What?
It must be, huh?
I think we sometimes will do it only because my last name is Vaughn, but it's V-A-U-G-H-N. And so some people will call us the Vaughn Beckers because it sounds like the Vaughn Traps. But
yeah,
like,
well, that's
the smush part, I think, is a lesbian thing.
Interesting. Huh. Because I've thought about being like changing us all to the smush name because I don't think it sounds bad. Kelwoods. That's not bad.
No, that's a great... Smush names is great.
It does sound kind of cool. It sounds like a nice neighborhood. Do you know what I mean? That you probably can't afford, right? Oh, you live in Kelwood Estates?
It also reminds me of Legally Blonde, David.
Yes. Everything reminds me of Legally Blonde.
Oh, jeez. Here we go. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. So let's get into picking your egg donor because this is a huge... I call this... The search for Superman or the search for Superwoman, because we get cray cray. Mm-hmm. Not all of us do. Many of us do. So let's dig into those searches.
It is to date, the weirdest thing I've ever done. I've done a lot of weird things in my life. Gavin knows most of them. And it was the strangest experience of my life because those of you who haven't shopped for biological material.
Yeah.
It's a Hinge date from hell. You are swiping these profiles. And what happens is you just go, what am I looking for? Because there's the obvious ones I think everyone knows, right? Race, body type, age. Like there's these things that you kind of like are already have an idea of what you want. But then you start getting into the weeds because you're like, well, she only has a BFA. She doesn't have a master's. I'm like, what?
You pay extra for those in sperm.
You sure
do. I don't know about you.
Oh, you sure do.
And every agency is different, right? Some agencies will give you pictures of them as kids or as adults or we got like a 5-page medical history plus like a little bit of a Q&A, like what are your hobbies, all that stuff. And we were having one of those days where we were going through these things and we were both so stressed out. We were at each other's throats and it just was like, we finally just said, let's decide what's important. So like any sort of medical things or race or body type. First of all, you'll find out you've got a lot of demons in your closet when you start looking at people and you're like, I don't like her. And you're like, why?
Yeah.
Why don't you like her? And you go, because I realized I'm being biased against her weight or her height or her skin tone. Like, it forces you to make those decisions. But what we realized was we chose the important parameters for us. And then we just the woman we chose, my husband says, I just looked at her face and I went, she just has a kind face. And I wanted to choose her. And that was really important to us because we were so desperate just for that decision to be over. And what's hilarious, like going back with the names and everything, for me, and I don't know if you guys feel this way, I now think of our egg donor and who she is and their influence on my child never once. Because my kids are my kids.
So
and
true.
Anything good they do is because of me. And anything bad they do is because of my husband.
Yeah.
So like, I never say like, oh, obviously. Well, your egg donor listened to country music. So that's why you're a MAGA or whatever, you know? So, So anyway, that was my personal experience with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I joked for months and weeks and months and almost a year probably about how we were flipping through a J. Crew catalog of tall, beautiful women with Ivy League educations. And it happened to be that, again, our agency, whose name I cannot remember, was located in Pasadena. And so it tended to be very California looking women. And that meant like really blonde and really white. And that was interesting. There was very little diversity. And it took a while to like, we just had to follow our gut. Just like David said, like the kind face means a lot for sure. Or just like the kind vibe you're getting through a picture. David, did you have videos that you were able to watch?
No, ours were just pictures of them as adults.
We were able to watch videos of them. And often it would say like hopes and dreams, the word hopes and dreams. And whenever somebody would come on and say, my hopes and dreams is, we'd be like, delete, next. They can't conjugate. They don't know how to speak. Their grammar is obviously inherent. So next. It's kind of like an SAT score. You have to
that's
move on for some reason.
Down. Yeah.
So we ended up finding just somebody who just, it was just the right vibe.
Yeah.
And also, we did kind of try to look for somebody who vaguely resembled my partner so that there was some kind of combination of us. And so, for instance, I used to be blonde when I was a kid, living in Colorado sunshine. I was super toe-headed as a kid. And so we were going for somebody with much darker hair, like my partner. And then we ended up having this woman who did, ironically, this wasn't the deciding factor. She did go to Columbia, but she was a tennis player. I don't know. There was just something about her that was like, this just seems right.
Yeah, there's a feeling.
There was also something I forgot to say that Gabe reminded me of. We were looking for women who were, and this, it sounds horrible because we're talking about biological material and we're talking about people, humans who are doing this. So you talk about them in a way that feels very demeaning, in a weird way. But anyway, we were looking for somebody who was average and average looking as far as like the looks, like not defined, like very like forgettable.
Because you want your genetics to shine through, right?
That is exactly right. My arrogance was like, I want me to shine through. So we tried to choose a woman who just looked like a cute girl that is super forgettable. So like, first of all, we're not gorgeous. I don't know why we thought our DNA was so special that it needed to pop through. But that was one of the things. We were looking for somebody who would kind of fade to the background. And now when I look at pictures of her, I can see our kids' noses and mouth clear as day. But I don't think about her anymore. I hope she's well. I hope she's doing great. But like, I don't think about her ever because we never met her. There was no, what is it called? Where you have no connection. We don't know
her name. So you didn't get open ID egg donors.
No, but I think you can still like via like, you know, Ancestry or whatever. Eventually you can find those.
So not even when they turn 18, there's not an option to reach out.
Not
for me either.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't think they were really still doing that. No. I thought that everything was moving towards open ID. First, because you can find it all out anyway, but also because it's just better for it's better for the kids in the long run to
be
able to have an open door. But interesting, very interesting. And I do think about the donor. I do. I still do sometimes. Like my daughter is 9 now and I see him in her. As she grows, I'm seeing him more and it's like jarring. It's interesting.
Did you have him on camera or video to see any mannerisms or the way
we don't get that. So we had just had baby pictures. Actually, I've seen an adult picture of him since then. It's a very long story.
That sounds juicy.
One of the other parents with the same donor knows him, sent me a picture, hangs out with him, like whole thing. Wow. So I know a lot more than I thought I would.
So that's my biggest fear is if we ever, because I'm like, I kind of want to run into her, just kind of get a vibe. But part of me is so afraid that I would run into her and like see that she was at like the Capitol on January 6th. Like, I'm so afraid that will taint my like image of her.
Oh,
because like right now, she's just this like cute nurse from Portland, Oregon, who likes country music and dogs. I'm like, I just want that to be her because I'm so afraid she's going to disappoint me.
You have a really interesting picture of her. In your head.
I have a vivid imagination.
Very Gidget, I feel like.
Very Gidget. But I doubt the Gidget who is donating eggs to an agency that's going to help you out, David, is really going to be storming the Capitol. I mean,
I can't imagine.
No. Fingers crossed.
No. I can't imagine. I like to believe that my donor is like the best person in the world because I have to.
Magic of believing.
Yeah. But I did just interview Dr. Mark, who actually is one of the founders of Men Having Babies. He and Lisa, the therapist, another previous guest of mine who they come back on every once in a while. And they're like my expert people because we're so technical on this podcast. We know all
expert
the scientific.
Yeah.
So they're my expert people. But I just interviewed them about the donor search and their book is all about like donor conceived people and, you know, our families. And they said, what you should, I had so much like anxiety during this interview because they were like, what you really should focus on first and foremost is medical background and like all this stuff. Everything that I did not do, they said we should do. I was like, I went straight for heart. Yeah. Like it's very funny. I think in the end, a lot of us really go with our gut because you have to. It's such a big, huge leap of faith.
And we have to say out loud, it's weird. We have to say, we can't hide behind like, no, it's this beautiful man. It is weird shopping for biological material. And if you just say that out loud, it just takes a little bit of the pressure off.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so beautiful though. You got your beautiful babies. How old are your kids now?
10 and 11. And I definitely have an 11-year-old who turns 12 in 2 days. And she is an 11-year-old going on 17.
Oh, God.
But she's awesome. She's awesome. She's doing well at school. She has lots of friends and she's doing all the things that matter. And one of the things that matters is that assholishness at home. But it's okay. It's okay.
Do you hear the exhaustion in his voice?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. But please.
Yeah, 10 and 11. They're 19 months apart and luckily they're besties. We had a lot of diapers all at the same time way back in the day. Oh my God, it was a lot. But they really are best friends.
Oh, that's nice to hear. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can say the same for my kids, but lucky you. And then how about you, David?
I have a 4-year-old boy and a 20-month-old girl. Yeah, so I'm in the middle of all of that. All
You're
of that,
in it.
That.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a Dolly Parton. I have a 9 and 5.
Oh, cute.
Oh, you're going to hold on to that. Yeah. Hold on to that Dolly Parton for as long as you possibly can.
It's
and immediately
soon.
I thought breasts right when you said it, and which is terrible, but also because I fucking love Dolly Parton. But
who doesn't?
She's
who
one
doesn't?
Of our queens.
Yeah, she's the best. She's the best. He turns 6 in November and she turns 10 in December. And I'm already mourning the loss of my Dolly Parton 9 to 5 children. Tell us at home a little bit about your show, how you met. How'd you meet? How do you know each other? Were you in a show together? Summerstock?
That's actually really funny. David and I barely know each other, actually, when it comes down to it.
We actually barely knew each other before we started this, which is
actually
true.
That's how me and Robin were. So
Gavin and I we both come from like the Broadway world. So we're both mm-hmm. Broadway actors mm-hmm. and dancers and just the musical theater world in general.
We probably have so many friends in common.
Oh, no, a million. Literally, we know a million of the same people. Yeah. So I don't know, actually, I don't know when or how we met other than through our mutual friend and then that audition. But the most recent time was, what is it, like 10 years? No, not 10 years ago, maybe less than that. I was directing a show and Gavin came to audition for me.
Yes.
And he came in and I reached out to him afterwards. I was like, oh, yeah, like, by the way, he didn't book it. But to be fair, the role was already cast. He just didn't know that. But
it's usually the case.
It's usually the case. And I wasn't allowed to tell people. It was a whole frustrating thing. I wish I got so frustrated with that particular job, but that's another story. And I reached out to him and I think we had like lunch or something. I was like, oh yeah, we like each other. Why aren't we hanging out more? And then when I came up with the idea for this show, which was basically born out of when I became a parent, I was like, oh, all my friends went away. I felt like a shell of a person. I was like, wait, I'm still a full person. I want to talk about sex. I want to talk about my career. I want to talk about other things and be a dad. And I just felt the whole gay parenting world was just these like Instagram accounts that were like beautiful and magical, but there was no realness to them.
So gross.
And so I was like, I need to start a show that's NSFW. It's comedy first. We're not going to heal the world. We're not going to help anybody. We're just going to laugh about poop and trauma and all the fun things in a like silly space. And I was just thinking about all of my gay dad friends. And I just kept thinking about Gavin, honestly. I just kept like, I have other gay dad friends, but I was like, I just want somebody who gets it, who's funny, who's comes from the musical theater world. We constantly talk about musical theater. So
Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde, my favorite show ever. And so I called Gavin. I literally called him and I went, hey, I want to do this podcast about gay dads. Do you want to do it? He's like, yes. So we just met in Midtown.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen him in years.
Yeah.
And we just started talking.
It was also post-COVID that we finally, this was just almost, not even a year ago, David, that you called me.
It was like January, I think.
I was immediately jazzed about it because one, I know David is somebody who makes shit happen. And I like to think of myself as of somebody who makes shit happen, but I have a lot of shit going on right now. And one of the shits that I have going on right now, actually, is that many years ago, as a slight diversion, when we were expecting our first kid, I wanted a slick, masculine diaper bag. And all diaper bags tended to be either super feminine, which is totally understandable, or overcompensatingly masculine. Like, you're not going to make me a fucking pussy. I'm going to put a gun in my bag, you know?
We had the same issue because my wife wanted, same thing as you, same thing. She was like, what the fuck is all these? What is this?
Enough of the quilting. And so I started a company and I designed a diaper bag that was actually at Barney's before Barney's capitulated. And it's still at Nordstrom right now. But my point is actually along these lines is I wanted to do a podcast years ago to talk about daddy issues, so to speak. And now my notion wouldn't have immediately been about comedy, but it would definitely would have been like, the kids are awful and they ruin everything, but we love every second of it. Same basic vibe, but I just could not get my shit together. And it was scary. As we all know, it's scary to like take that artistic leap that you're doing something and you're putting it out there and you're making yourself mm-hmm. vulnerable and whatnot. And luckily, David came up with his vision of this. And he said, will you go on this journey with me? And I was like, absolutely, especially if you will be the leader of it, frankly. Right. And so there is no doubt about it that David is driving this train. And I do as best I can to keep on the train with him. And I love every second of it.
But I needed somebody like Gavin because I will just go off talking about disgusting, horrible, gross things.
It's true.
And I needed a little bit of like, yeah, but don't we love our children? I was like, oh, yeah, I guess we do. Yeah, I needed somebody to pull back me down to
earth. I literally am the straight guy to David's
Which is right. ironic because he's very gay.
Very.
I mean, we're all very gay in his room, aren't we?
That's true.
You sound so much like Robin and I, my previous co-host, who we did this to, we started this together. Same, like, because we wanted to be real about it too, but also, you know, uplift our families because there was no space for us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. totally.
Yeah, but there's so many similarities. I hope you all have a better working relationship than we did in the end.
It's all about communication. It is about communication. And we've had some growing pains that we've been able to push through, though, I think, too, which is normal. Because
it's a marriage. You're in a marriage right now.
We have a relationship. Yes, we absolutely have a professional marriage right now. And, you know.
And it's hard, too, because Gavin lives in Connecticut. I live in northern New Jersey. We've recorded one episode in person, and it was episode number one. Yeah. Everything mm-hmm. we record is remote. As you know, you're a podcaster. Like it's like the iceberg metaphor, right? All the things people see is just the episode that comes out. There is hours and hours and hours and hours of work and money and stuff. And all of that has to be remote over video or over phone. And that's just plain hard, especially when people don't really know each other. Although now at this point, now that I know where his semen has been across the country, I feel like we're pretty close.
And also it makes it a lot easier because of the millions of dollars we're making in the podcast.
We're making millions of dollars.
Millions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's tell those advertisers to put their money where their mouths are when it comes to inclusion.
There we go.
Let's talk about that, shall we? Oh
yes.
My God.
Diversity and authenticity. Come on, corporate America. On. We're right here for it.
We're here. And we love y'all coffee, Starbucks. I do. I feel like we could talk for hours.
Well, let's do it for another hour, shall we?
We're about to talk some more because I'm going to go be a guest on your show. And I can't wait for this. I love that I don't have to be in the driver's seat. Although I don't think I needed to drive you guys too much here.
You needed to corral us. We're like two like
same though.
Like hyenas with IBS. Like you got to keep us contained or we're going to ruin your living room.
Also a whole lot of musical theater energy. So step aside. I want the center. I want that spotlight, bitch. I want.
But going back to our show really quickly before we end. I understand that shows like your show and there are a few other gay dad podcasts or gay parent podcasts. Like I think all of them are important. I just know that for me, what I wanted was something. I listened to a lot of podcasts and some were very serious, but I wanted something that was like, can we all just sit around with a glass of wine and laugh and tell horror stories and then that be the end and not have to think too hard, just literally throw away. Mm-hmm. Like I really wanted that spirit because I know that we need to educate and we need to do that stuff, but I think we also just need to fucking laugh.
And lighten up.
And sit around and be like, when did you get shit on? Well, I got shit on here. And those kind of stories to me, coming from the musical theater world, like when we all get in a room, what do we tell? Horror stories. We tell about the time that somebody didn't show up for the end of West Side Story and nobody shot Tony. So then what are we supposed to do? Tony and Maria just get together? No. So anyway, so that's partly why I created the show.
Well, this has been such a pleasure. I can't wait to shoot the shit with you and talk parenting drama because I got a lot of it and musical theater stuff because I got a lot of those stories. And I can't wait to find out who all of our mutual friends are because I think we have a lot of those too.
But thank you for representing with your podcast as well. We hold you up. We want to grow up to be like you, Jamie. So thank you for paving the way for the rest of us.
I don't think you need to aim higher than that. But thank you so much. Thank you. When we started this show, there wasn't another show. Mm-hmm. Now there are a handful. You know, we are one of many now. Mm-hmm. But when I started 6 years ago, there wasn't a show. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's how far we've come, but we still have so much further to go. because we have to be seen as not niche at some point in this world, right?
That's for sure.
Ugh, yeah. But anyway, I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And
for
I'm
going to
see you in a second anyway.
Thanks so much. See you soon.
Queer Family Podcast.
A special thanks once again to our sponsor, California Cryobank. Don't forget, y'all, use that code QUEERFAM, QUEERFAM, for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Go make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about it. Go make them. Go ahead.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier. You're going to join and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in. And I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.